today as we come to the table.
Something's missing. I don't have the power that Pastor Mark has. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm making a point. I couldn't stand up in front of people and share my faith. Sometimes I can't. So don't get me wrong. If I'm not walking with God and praying to be filled regular in the Holy Spirit, I can't either. But I use that as an example to say, I can't be a witness. I couldn't share. I'm that kind of thing. And people look at you and think something's missing. And sometimes you might even look at yourself and you think something's missing. Why can't I have victory over that sin in my life? Why am I not walking in boldness when I run into people that I need to share the gospel with and I'm too afraid? It's because God needs to come upon you with His Holy Spirit.
On our own, we can't accomplish much. We can't have victory. We can't have courage. And we can't have power over sin. But with Christ, we can. Alone, we have no authority in life. But when the Holy Spirit is working in us, there is no limit and no end to our victories, our courage, and our power. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you to seek God and remember to be with Him. When you spend time with God and you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you, there is no limit. The Bible says that you have the same power that raised Jesus from the grave in you. Live like it. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 3, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Gideon had fear. He was afraid to step out and do ministry. He was afraid to do battle for the Lord, the Bible tells us. And if you remember the story, which we don't have time to read, he was so afraid of the Midianites, the enemies of Israel, he was hiding down in a valley trying to winnow the wheat, you know. And you'd have to go up on a high place to do that. The way they used to do it back then, they would throw the wheat up in the air and the wind would blow the chaff away and the wheat would fall to the ground. He was down in a valley where no wind could be, down in a wine press area where no wind was, because he was afraid of the enemies of God. And all of a sudden, the Lord shows up and says, "Hey, mighty man of valor, I'm going to use you." And he's like, "You're kidding. Who are you talking to?" You know, I kind of get this comical scene. I'd love to almost see that played out with the guy looking around for the mighty man of valor. But that's what God thinks about when he looks at you guys. He says, "Hey, mighty man. Hey, mighty woman of valor." And you're thinking, "Me? God, could you use me?" Yes, if you allow him to come upon you with his Holy Spirit, he certainly will. And this is what Gideon learned. And now look at verses 33 and 34. It says, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east gathered together, and they crossed over, and they encamped in the valley of Jezreel." Again, this was to battle against Israel. Tens of thousands of them. "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon." The pauses are to point out this work of the Spirit in Gideon's life when he needed it. He came upon Gideon. And then Gideon blew the trumpet and the Abiezrites gathered behind him. And it goes on to say he went to battle against the Midianites and he defeated tens of thousands of Midianites with 300 men. Now, I know that it was God's Spirit. We understand that. But God came upon him for power to do something that seemed impossible when he was afraid. And God gave him boldness to do it and gave him victory to do it. That's exactly what we need to happen to us today. Now, what is another one? What about Samson? I want you to turn now to Judges chapter 14. It's interesting, when you look at Samson, I think a lot of times we think of Samson, we probably think he was some kind of bodybuilder and maybe had some Australian accent or something like that, right?
"I've come to fight the Philistines," you know, or something.
I'm not convinced that Samson was a muscle man at all. Now, he may have been a sturdy guy, he may have been strong, but when you see God using Samson in power, it says the Holy Spirit came upon him and he had power, and Samson killed a lion with his bare hands. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. We'll read that in just a moment. This is not the kind of thing that a muscled man can do. I don't care how good of a fighter you are. I don't care how strong you are, you have to have supernatural power to do this kind of feat. And look at this in Judges 14, 5 and 6. 14, 5 and 6, listen to what it says. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother, and he came to the vineyards of Timnah, and to his surprise, a young lion came roaring out against him. The young lions are the strong ones. They're the ones that do the hunting, even for the older lions. And notice verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Now, I would have run him. I just killed a lion, you know. Now, the reason he didn't tell them is because of all kinds of Levitical reasons and being unclean and touching an animal and all the religious cleansing. And by the way, although God used Samson, he wasn't exactly the greatest Christian model, we might say today, which is another whole teaching in itself. But he rips this thing apart. Listen, that doesn't happen by man's sheer power. Now look at Judges 15, verses 14 and 15. And look what it says. Speaking again of Samson, it says, and when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. And look at this. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand, took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Now listen, you can do all the Bruce Lee imitations you want, but there's no way this guy could have done this without the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what I want you to see. When God's people need power, there is a specific work of the Spirit that is separate from the other two. It is separate from the indwelling. It is separate from being with you. The para is separate from that. It's the upon or the epi there in the language, the coming upon in power. And God uses this and has used it not only in the life of the church since its inception, but I wanted you to see, first of all, that God has done the same thing in the Old Testament. And now when you read the Old Testament all the way through it, you're going to see that every time power is needed, God comes upon the king or upon the prophet or upon the servant. It was something that was available to the body of Christ then. It's something that's available to the body of Christ now, although they didn't have the indwelling as we do now. And this is where we get to the New Testament. Now I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. Because this is the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. And this is where God pours out his Spirit upon the church in Acts chapter 2. But it's also where the church has now received the indwelling work of the Spirit and all of them working now in fullness. It's almost as if in the Old Testament, God had to wait till he could give us the fullness of what he had for us. He said, I want to be with you, I want to be in you, and I want to be upon you, but I can't be in you until I die on the cross. Once I die on the cross, I'll be in you. Now, by the way, for you Bible students, you will find one or two times in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit did come inside of someone, but he only stayed for a moment and then he left. So God came and did a specific work in the prophets and the saints that were able for that moment to do that, but he wasn't able to remain there because of the sin nature of man, and he had to leave. Now we have that indwelling permanently, as I said, the moment we receive Christ. And again, this is where we get to as we look at this in Acts chapter 2. Now, what's the setting? Well, if you remember the setting, Jesus in John chapter 20 had risen from the dead. He appeared to the disciples in the upper room, and it says that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He had died on the cross. He was now ready to give the Holy Spirit's indwelling to the believers, because from that point on, we could all receive it. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. It's the word lambano in the Greek, and it's in the command form. I'm telling you, take this. It's like handing someone something. And so the disciples at that point received the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit moved inside of the believer at that point. He was with them. He was now in them. But now, in order to face the persecution and have the boldness they needed for the days they lived in, he is now about to come upon them at the birth of the church, even as he came upon the elders of Israel with Moses when he was birthing that work in the wilderness. God doing the same thing, but now with the church. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 of Acts. It says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, that is, they received power, And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, it's interesting. When you look at Peter, Peter was the bold one. You know, Peter's the one that said, though they all deny you, I won't. I'm the rock. Watch this. Here we go. And then God said, all right, I'm going to let you be tested here, Peter, and find out you're not as tough as you think you are. The rock got tested and turned out to be jello, right? And of course, he denied the Lord three times. He needed to learn that lesson because Peter needed to learn like we do. It's not by our own strength that we're going to be able to do this. It's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter, like all the rest of them, the Bible says they were hiding in the upper room. They were hidden away from the Jewish authorities because they thought they might be killed as well. They were living in fear. Now note this, the government was turning up heat on them and they were becoming afraid as a Christian people, so to speak, if you want to modernize it. And they were hiding behind closed doors. And what did God know they needed in order to not hide? What did God know they needed in order not to be afraid? They needed this particular work of the Spirit, of the three different works. They needed this particular work, and that is the one that gives you power, where God comes upon. And now we see he pours his Spirit out upon them here in these first four verses in chapter 2. And the Bible goes on. We're not going to read it. We don't have time. But in this chapter, all of a sudden, Peter stands up, afraid Peter, the one who not only heard the chicken but was acting like one, stands up in front of the same people that put Jesus to death and said, you are guilty and you need to repent as a nation, as a society, as a person. I'm putting it in my own words. You need to repent. And God gave him power and boldness. What happened to Peter? What happened to this man who was so afraid that he's hiding behind closed doors, and a sudden event took place that the very next moment he's standing up in front of the crowds, confronting them in their sin, realizing he might be the next one hanging on the cross. I'll tell you what happened. The Holy Spirit came upon him. When I lived in Nashville, I gave my life to the Lord. And I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, it was exciting. The word came alive. You know what that's like when you first come to the Lord. But I was afraid. I was afraid to share my faith. I wasn't walking in boldness. And I just felt there's got to be more than this. I love the Lord and all this, but how are we to be a witness in all this? And I remember people saying, well, you know what? God does have an event where he gives you power. He'll come upon you if you ask him. And so I remember getting alone. I was house-sitting for these people in Nashville there. And I just said, God, you know what? I don't understand all this. I'm a baby Christian, but I want everything you have for me. What do you have for me? I want everything. I'm opening up. Here I am. And I completely repented. I turned from all known sin. I said, I'm an open vessel. God, whatever you want, let's go. And God, at that moment, one of the most life-changing moments in my life, besides salvation, he came upon me. And he came upon me in power. And my life changed overnight. That night that I prayed that, some new power entered me. And literally, from someone who was afraid to share his faith, that next day, I was out in the streets and the malls of Nashville, stopping people and talking to them about Jesus Christ, people I didn't even know. I remember going up to just people and just, hey, when it's stopping to people in the food line, hey, have you received Christ? And of course, it was very clumsy, and I'm sure it was probably very abrupt because I was a baby Christian. I didn't know what I was doing. I think I've shared with you guys before. I walked up to a group of bikers, and they're all sitting around their jackets, big, burly, rough-looking guys. And I had the boldness of a lion, either that or an idiot, but either way. I walked up, and I said, guys, can I talk to you a minute? And all their heads just turned at me, and I said, has anyone ever shared that Jesus Christ loves you? And they actually talked to me. We spent probably 5 or 10 minutes just talking, sharing. I gave them the gospel. Nobody gave their life to the Lord. But I didn't tell them that hogs weren't kosher. I just started a fight. But I shared the Lord with them. And you know what? I wonder, did some of those guys receive Christ? Guys, here's what happened. My point is this. What happened to Peter where he changed from literally one day to the next day to a different man? What happened to me? Where I literally changed in one day to a different man. What happened? That third work of the Holy Spirit, where we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament, where God comes upon the believer for power. And that is exactly what I think we desperately need, because the same atmosphere is here for today that was back in that day. You know, it's interesting. In that day, the rabbis taught that the gifts and the Spirit were no longer for that day. The rabbis in Jesus' day said that was only something that God did back in the days of the prophets. It was only something that God did back in the days of Judges. It's not something that God still does today. That was 2,000 years ago. And they were saying that. Yet after they said that is when God poured out his Spirit all over the church upon these believers and did all these amazing things. Now, why do I bring that up? Because some of you have probably heard that same thing today. There are people, there are rabbis / pastors that still say today, that's something, and it's funny, they don't say it like the rabbis in Jesus' day said, that was something that happened long ago back in the prophet's day. Now people today say, hey, that's something that happened back in Jesus' day. They kind of push it back to the time before them. Listen what it says in Hebrews 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he doesn't change. He stays the same forever. And guys, the very same power that God offered the church back in that day is the same power that God will offer the church today if we will simply ask him to give us that power. And we need it more than ever. It was John Wesley, I believe, who said, and don't quote me on that, but I feel pretty confident. He said, the reason the church today in my generation, in John Wesley's generation, is not walking in power is because we're not asking for God to come upon us and empower us with the Holy Spirit. We need God's power. Now, when you look at these, you say, all right, I hear that. Great. Well, Mark, how do we know for sure that this is for us today? When Peter was giving this message, in context here, he was talking about what they had just seen take place, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the people were asking, what just happened? Why are these people speaking in other languages? What is this they're doing? How is all this going on? There's something different taking place. What does it all mean? And Peter says, listen, in verse 39, I want you to read this with me. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Peter says this, for the promise is to you, that is those that were there right then, and to your children, that is the next generation, and to all who are afar off, that is everyone around the world, and this is the category where we fall, number four, and as many as the Lord our God will call. Question, are you called of the Lord? If you're called of the Lord, this promise and the work of the Spirit is for you. Jesus said, speaking of the Holy Spirit given in Luke 11, 13, listen to what he said. He said, if you then being evil, that is of the sin nature, is what he was talking about, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father, rather your Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But we have to believe and we have to ask. Now, I want to see a couple of other examples here in Acts before we end this today. I want you to turn with me now to Acts chapter 10. Starting in verse 44, there are many other examples I could use, but I wanted to grab a couple so you could see some other examples of this other work of the Spirit where God comes upon and gives power. Look at Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 44. What is the setting? Peter had been called to go up to, by Cornelius, to go up to Caesarea Philippi and share the gospel with some Gentiles up there. God was doing a brand new work in the Gentile church along with the Jews as well. The church was being born and they needed this move of God's Spirit. And so Peter goes up there to speak with them. And notice here in verse 44, it says, and while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And as he commanded them to be baptized, or rather, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and then they asked him to stay for a few days. Now notice this, in this particular instance, all three took place. The Holy Spirit was with them. They received Christ. The Holy Spirit came in them, the indwelling, and the Holy Spirit came upon them for power. All three works of the Holy Spirit at one moment. And sometimes that happens. That didn't happen with me. I've seen some believers, they receive Christ, and the moment they receive Christ, they say, God, I want everything you've got. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, and God gives them the gifts that they're to use for ministry. He gives them power. He gives them boldness, and they take off going for it in ministry. Mine wasn't like that. I knew the Lord for several months before this experience took place in my life. It was months later when I was alone and saying, God, I want everything you've got, that he came upon me. So I wanted you to see an instance where it all happens at one time, but I also want you to see an instance as we finish today where sometimes it happens in stages. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 19. What is the setting? Paul is traveling around the region. He's come to Ephesus. And when he gets to Ephesus, he runs into some disciples, some followers of Jesus. And notice what he says here, starting in chapter 19, verse 1. It says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. and finding some disciples. So notice he has found believers. They are disciples of Christ. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, what a bizarre question. Let's back up and think about this for a second. He finds a group of disciples in Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus. They know him. They're saved. And he says to them, "Hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit?" Why would Paul say this? Paul wrote Romans. He knows that the moment you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit is received. He comes inside of you. Every believer, the Bible clearly says that. So what is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about this other work of the Spirit because he noticed in their lives something's missing. And for some of you this morning, you're noticing like I did in Nashville. You're saved, but if you honestly evaluate your life, you're thinking, something's missing. I don't have the power that Pastor Mark has. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm making a point. I couldn't stand up in front of people and share my faith. Sometimes I can't. So don't get me wrong. If I'm not walking with God and praying to be filled regular in the Holy Spirit, I can't either. But I use that as an example to say, I can't be a witness. I couldn't share. I'm that kind of thing. And people look at you and think something's missing. And sometimes you might even look at yourself and you think something's missing. Why can't I have victory over that sin in my life? Why am I not walking in boldness when I run into people that I need to share the gospel with and I'm too afraid? It's because God needs to come upon you with his Holy Spirit. And Paul recognized this. He said, something's not right here, guys. There's something missing. And notice what he said, whether what they said, they answered and said, "Well, we have not as much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. We don't know about this thing you're talking about, Paul. Tell us." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Remember, John said, "There's one coming after me that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." He was talking about Jesus. He said, "You obviously have not been baptized by the Lord. What baptism were you baptized with?" "We're baptized by water." "That's great. That's for repentance and sin. That's good. But you need God to baptize you now. You need the power of God in your life." And so he's going to lead them into that. Then Paul said to them, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, guys, look at this. You've got a group of disciples, believers in Jesus. They've now been baptized in Jesus. You can't be any more saved than that. It is the definition of a Christian. And they have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But notice Paul realized they needed something more. And now he moves on after that in verse 6. And notice this. After that took place, look at verse 6. "And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and the men were about 12 in all." Guys, why do I emphasize this? Because I believe more than ever the church needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need God to come upon us. We need to recognize the clear, different workings of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. And we need to say, "God, I want everything you've got." And I think we need it more now than ever.
What a pleasure it's been to have you with us today for this edition of Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is walking us through the book of Judges. This, of course, was a time in Israel's history prior to the era of the kings of Israel. Time and time again, Israel was in a precarious situation of being taken advantage of. And God allowed someone to come in and help the nation of Israel be rescued from slavery or oppression. Isn't this such an interesting thing that translates well beyond the Old Testament times? Jesus became the ultimate rescuer, who came to rescue mankind from a state of sin and slavery. For those who reject Jesus and his salvation, there are judgments and consequences that come with that choice. But that's not what God wants for any person. He'd much rather have you enter into the heavenly family of God, accepting the invitation that Jesus has offered on his death on the cross. If you're unsure of what all of this means, we invite you to learn more at thewaymedia.net. While there, you can click on the link to Calvary Knoxville, where we have a variety of resources available to you. You can also reach us at our phone number, 865-609-1385. Once again, that phone number to call for questions, concerns, or prayer requests is 865-609-1385. Thanks so much for tuning into the Book of Judges today. We look forward to hearing what Pastor Mark has to share next time about more judges in the Old Testament and what the purpose of each one was. This has been Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.